Thank you, worship team, for preparing our hearts for worship. I'm Keith Newberry, one of the elders here, and we're taking turns sharing the Word of God. And this message that I'm going to share today is very personal. It's been a personal struggle of mine throughout the years. And I had a lot of soul searching as I prepared this, a lot of study. But we'll get into the message in just a moment. I just want to recap from last week. What a wonderful blessing of the bikes. What a wonderful message from Rick from the Christian Motorcycle Association. I was really touched by our call, all of our call, to meet people on the open road where they are and share the love and forgiveness and the grace that comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think about Rick, the powerful struggles that he overcome and what he was done by what he overcame and by trusting Jesus, what he's doing now and proclaiming and sharing the truth on the open road. If you missed Rick's message, it's out there on YouTube, our Stutzensville Facebook page, I think on our church website. But as I bring, I was just thinking about some of my past messages, whether it was my message on words that spoke to me a lot, my message on what's your want to up to. And today, grudges. Those are personal struggles that I've dealt with and have been dealing with, and God is helping me get through some of these. So please join me in opening prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day with grateful hearts, thankful, God, for your mercy, your patience, especially for me, and your unfailing love. Lord, this morning we ask that you just quiet our minds and prepare our hearts to hear from you today. Open our ears to your truth and soften our spirits, our hearts, to receive what you would teach us. Father, we confess, I confess at this time, that we hold on to hurt, anger, disappointment, and yes, grudges. We carry these wounds and make it difficult for us to forgive. And we allow, at times, bitterness to take root where your peace should live. Forgive us today, Lord, for those moments when we've chosen resentment over grace. As we gather to hear this message, help us to understand the freedom that comes through forgiveness. Teach us how to let go of the things that weigh us down and to trust you with the pain that we've carried. Give us hearts that reflect your compassion, Lord, and the mercy of your Son, Jesus Christ, who forgave me and everyone here today while suffering on the cross. Lord, heal broken relationships. Restore peace where there's been division, and remind us that your love is greater than any offense we may face. We give this service here today to you and ask everything be done to glorify you in your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as we're working to get slides up, my first scripture slide is Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, and it's kind of a precursor in my study, and I'll go through this. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and the God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. Let's go to the next slide. This is the key scripture that kind of led me into my study. It's Ephesians 4, verses 29 through 32, and Paul's writing here, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." This spoke to me. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. So as we go into this, or I went into my study, I think each one of us has been hurt from by someone. Maybe it was words spoken in anger. Maybe it was betrayal. Maybe somebody disappointed you. How about abandoning you? Lied to you, hurt you, or wounded your heart deeply? When these wounds are not dealt with properly, something dangerous begins to grow inside us. It's a grudge. A grudge is more than remembering that pain. A grudge is us just holding on to that pain and choosing not to release it or release what hurts us. And the truth is, grudges are heavy. They rob our peace. They keep me up at night. They steal our sleep. They adversely affect our physical, mental, and yes, our spiritual health. Grudges poison relationships. They hinder our prayers. They harden our hearts. And as I studied this, they keep us chained to yesterday. We can't move forward. And God is trying to move us forward. And I kept thinking, it's like that anchor block that I tied my boat up to. And that big chain is just wrapped around me, dragging me down. This morning, I want to talk about, honestly, the danger of holding grudges and the freedom that comes from forgiveness. And we'll get through the points. So where do grudges start? They start in our hurt heart. They start with real pain. Somebody truly hurt you. Somebody failed you. Somebody betrayed your trust. The Bible never says pain is imaginary. God knows real pain. David cried out in the Psalms. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. We studied recently in Easter and just talked about Jesus himself was rejected, mocked, beaten, and he was crucified. So the issue is not whether you're hurt. The issue is, what do you do with that hurt? What do you do with that hurt? In Hebrews 12, verse 15, See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defy many. Notice, the Bible calls bitterness a root. Roots grow underground. They get entangled in all kinds of things. Just recently, I was digging up drainage pipe. And you know what? There's roots all the way through that. I'm looking at it. I'm so far away from this tree. Why is it, spreading like it does? At times, grudges may seem small. They start out, I'm just a little upset. I'm really upset. I just need a little more time. How about I'll never trust them again? But you know what? If these thoughts, these feelings are left unchecked, what do they turn into? They turn into bitterness. And bitterness changes people. It changes how we speak. It changes how we think. It's scary. As I study, it changes how we worship, how we pray. It keeps us away. It changes how we view others. You know what? Sometimes it changes how we view God. A hurt heart can be a hardened heart. My next point is holding a grudge hurts us, more than it hurts other people. One of the greatest deceptions of bitterness is this: we are thinking we're punishing the other person. They deserve it. But most of the time, the person we resent has moved on, and we remain imprisoned. Somebody before the service, I kind of handed them my outline, the bulletin, the points I was trying to make, and someone came up and said, holding a grudge is like drinking poison and hoping somebody else dies. Think about that. Bitterness steals your joy. You cannot enjoy today because you keep reliving yesterday. You relive that hurt over and over. I struggle with this. Sometimes I can't hear God clearly because my anger is louder. How do you get rid of that? You can't walk in peace while feeding resentment. I have a lot of things to be resentful for. Some people carry grudges for years. Family grudges, church grudges, marriage grudges, friendship grudges, it goes on. You know what? Those grudges can become your identity. People may say, well, that's just the way I am. I will never forget that person. I will never forgive them. I have a lot of grudges, but I'll just share one. I've harbored resentment and anger from the way I was treated as a younger person where I now live, in the resort community I live in. Yes, I was an unruly kid. I was into all kinds of mischief. However, the memories of being kicked off our community beach, that was our community beach, just kick us kids off, and other situations where our family was treated unfairly. I don't need to go through those. I still harbor resentment. You know what? Most of those people are gone or dead. But it's holding me back. This bitterness, this resentment, the true lack of trust that I have has clouded my thinking and has held me back. And that's one reason I felt compelled to write this message. I've asked in my study, these are personal. I don't have the gift of public speaking. I'm up here shaking, my hands are sweating, you know, but preparing these studies helps me walk closer to Christ. And this week, I asked the Holy Spirit to cleanse my thinking so I can walk closer to God. And I thought about it. God didn't want me to live a grudge. And I thought more and more about it. Jesus came here to give us freedom. Think about that. We'll come back to that point. Jesus spoke strongly about forgiveness. So as I tried to think about this message, I look at scripture that can help me on my thinking in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others' sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And Matthew 6, 14. Oh, did I miss it? I wrote down in my note, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if ye forgive not men of their trespasses, neither will you or your Father forgive your trespasses. These are serious words. Forgiveness matters to God. And Peter said in Matthew 18, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter probably thought he was generous. He's keeping score. And Jesus answered, I say not unto thee until seven times. He said, until 70 times seven. Jesus was teaching that forgiveness was not about counting the offenses. It's about having a heart that releases people to God. Why? Because forgiven people like me are supposed to forgive people. We who have received God's mercy must give mercy. So Jesus is our example. If anyone had the right to hold a grudge, it was Jesus. He was sinless. He was perfect. He was holy. Yet he was betrayed by Judas. He was denied by Peter. He was rejected by his own people. He was mocked, beaten, and crucified. Yet what did Jesus do on the cross? What were some of his last words? Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. What amazing grace is this? Jesus didn't wait for an apology. He didn't wait for fairness. He forgave till his last days on this earth before he was reunited with our Father in heaven. Sometimes I say, these people don't deserve forgiveness. Look at what they did to me. The truth is, none of us deserve the forgiveness, and surely the life I lived before coming to Christ, none of us deserve the forgiveness that God gave us. That's what grace is. This is an important point. Forgiveness does not mean the hurt was okay. That's important to get. Forgiveness does not mean the wrong was acceptable. Forgiveness does not mean the trust is automatically restored. Forgiveness does not mean the consequences will disappear. Forgiveness does not mean wisdom is ignored. You know what forgiveness means? I release this burden to God. Think about that. I release this burden to God. Continuing in my study in Romans 12, verse 19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine, God's, to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Forgiveness is choosing not to be or carry on the role or assume the role of a judge. Forgiveness is, it's saying, God, you are righteous. I trust you with this pain. And sometimes forgiveness must happen daily. I know at home I say things, hopefully not as much, but eat my words, you know, and don't have the right tone. And I need to ask for forgiveness. However, there are some wounds that are very deep and heal very slowly. And you almost need to attack this each day and say, today am I going to choose bitterness or healing? Today, am I going to choose resentment or freedom? Today, am I going to choose revenge or grace? So as I started thinking about my study, I was touched, and I'm still touched today, with Erica Kirk's testimony and her ability to let go of the bitterness to her husband's alleged killer. I heard it the first time I was touched. I reviewed it again some months later, and during this past week, I had to go back to that. There's something mysterious and wonderful about folks who can do this when our culture says we should always seek retribution or revenge. I'm not going to tell you what my thought is if somebody killed my spouse. It was probably more in the revenge area. What courage for Erica to let this go by the grace and mercy of God so Erica doesn't carry the burden or anger or hostility toward her husband's killer for the rest of her life. One sense of forgiveness is for the harmed person to forgive, to be able to move on and not holding on. She let that burden go so she could move on and it wouldn't hinder her wrong with Christ. Another viewpoint or aspect on this, one may think that the party who created the wrong has to offer repentance first to be able to forgive. I don't subscribe to that thought because it's releasing this over to God. To be forgiven by God, you must go before God and confess your sins and ask to be cleansed to be forgiven. Maybe you, like me, have to let go to forgive So our walk, my walk with Christ, is not clouded with anger, revenge, hatred, or hostility. You know what? Sometimes you need to surround yourself with a brother or sister in Christ that you can pray with to help you through these difficult situations. I know I've had to do that. Just have somebody praying with you. Let's switch gears here and see. So grudges divide families, churches, and friendships. You know what? The enemy loves division. He will do anything to keep us separated and wants to foster our anger and resentment and wants us to say, you have a right to be upset the rest of your life. The enemy loves it when believers stop speaking. The enemy loves it when families are split apart. The enemy loves it when churches become cold and divided. How many relationships have been destroyed because people would not humble themselves? Pride. I have plenty of it. Keeps grudges alive. Pride means I won't apologize first. I won't let it go. They owe me. Somebody very close to me. Very, very close. Kept a grudge alive all the way till he died. It kept him apart. It was sad. But that's not a way to live. And as I think about it, bitterness blocks spiritual growth. What I found is I cannot walk closer to God while tightly clinging on to that bitterness. For me, bitterness affects my prayer. It affects my worship. It affects my relationships. It holds me back from spiritual maturity. Yes, there are some people in church, they faithfully carry on, but inside, God sees our insides, they carry bitterness every way they go. Outwardly, they look spiritual, they got it all put together. But God sees our inside, our heart. And inside, they're wounded and angry. God wants you to give him that inner part. He wants his truth to rule all of you. He wants us all to have clean hearts. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Let's go to the next slide. Think about Joseph. Joseph chose forgiveness instead of bitterness. He's one of the greatest examples in the Bible. His brothers betray him. He's sold into slavery. He's lied about. He's separated from his father. Joseph suffered greatly because of them. And yet, 10 years later, when he had the power to punish them and offer retribution, he chose mercy instead. In Genesis 50, verse 20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Let's go to the next slide. Forgiveness brings freedom. When we forgive, something beautiful happens. that chain of that big anchor block. Those chains break. Peace returns. Joy returns. The hurt still may exist. Here's the important point. The hurt no longer controls us. Forgiveness doesn't always change the other person, but it changes us. It frees our hearts. It allows our healing to begin. And in Colossians 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Notice the standard. Even as Christ forgave you. This is deep forgiveness. It's complete forgiveness. It is grace, grace-filled forgiveness. As I wrap up here, ask God to help you let go. God created us to walk in freedom, grace, mercy, and peace. The cross reminds us that forgiveness is powerful. Jesus forgave us completely, and because he forgave us, we can forgive others as well. Because freedom begins when we finally are able to let go. So in conclusion, holding grudges may make me feel justified for a moment, but bitterness is like a prison. God did not create us to live angry, resentful, and be chained to old wounds. God created us to walk in freedom, grace, mercy, and peace. So today, let's release the bitterness. Let's surrender the hurt. Let's trust God with the pain. Let's choose forgiveness today. Because freedom begins when we're finally able to let go. Please join me in a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for forgiving us when we did not deserve it. Lord, many of us carry wounds, hurts, disappointments, and bitterness. Some of those hurts run deep. Help us, help me not to hold grudges. Help us not to allow bitterness to take root in our hearts. Give me the strength to forgive those who have hurt us. Teach us to love like Jesus loved. Heal broken hearts and restore peace where anger lived. Create in us clean hearts, oh God. Help us to walk in freedom, grace, and mercy. We surrender all these hurts over to you today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.